The following is the address of His Holiness Pope Francis to journalists during the flight from Cuba to Mexico, given Friday the 12th of February 2016. Good evening. I believe that with the declaration you received, the joint declaration with Patriarch Kirill, you have enough work for the night and for tomorrow as well. For that reason, let's not have a question and answer session, but I would like to share my feelings with you. First of all, a feeling of welcome and readiness from President Castro. I had spoken with him the last time about his encounter, and he was ready to do everything, and as we saw, he did prepare everything for this, and we need to thank him for that. Secondly, with Patriarch Kirill, it was a conversation between brothers. We discussed clear points that concerned us both, in all honesty. I felt like I was standing before a brother, and he said the same to me. We were two bishops, speaking about the state of their churches in the first place, and in the second, about the state of the world, about wars that are now in danger of changing from a matter being fought piecemeal to involving the whole. We also spoke about the state of orthodoxy, of the upcoming Pan-Orthodox Synod. I tell you truly, I felt an inner joy that was really of the Lord. He spoke freely, and I spoke freely. You could feel the joy. The translators were good, both of them. It was a conversation of six. Patriarch Kirill, myself, Metropolitan Hilarion, and Cardinal Koch, as well as two translators, but all conducted freely. The two of us spoke, and the others if they had questions. Thirdly, a plan of possible joint activities for unity is made on the journey. Once I said that if unity were produced in a lab by studying theology and the like, maybe when the Lord comes, we would still be working on unity. Unity is made on the journey, walking. When the Lord arrives, may He at least find us walking. Then we signed the declaration that you have in your hands. There will be many interpretations, many, but if there are any doubts, Father Lombardi can tell you the true significance of the matter. It is not a political or a sociological declaration. It is a pastoral declaration. Even when it speaks about secularism and specific issues, biogenetic manipulation and all these things, it is pastoral, of two bishops who met together with pastoral concerns. And I'm very happy. Now 23 kilometers of an open Popemobile are waiting for me. I thank you for your work. Do what you can. Thank you so much. Thank you. The following is an address of His Holiness Pope Francis to participants in the International Congress on the encyclical Deus Caritas Est of Benedict XVI on the 10th anniversary of its publication, given in Clementine Hall, Friday the 26th of February, 2016. Dear brothers and sisters, I welcome you on the occasion of the International Conference on the theme, Love Will Never End. Prospects 10 years on from the encyclical Deus Caritas Est, organized by the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, and I thank Monsignor Dal Tozzo for the words of greeting addressed to me on behalf of all of you. The first encyclical of Pope Benedict XVI concerns a theme that allows us to retrace the entire history of the Church, which is also a history of charity. It is a story of the love received from God to be carried on to the world. This charity received and given is the fulcrum of the history of the Church and of the history of each one of us. The act of charity is not, in fact, simply almsgiving to ease one's conscience. It includes a loving attentiveness towards the other, which considers the other as one with himself, and desires to share friendship with God. Charity, therefore, is at the center of the life of the Church, and in the words of St. Therese of the Child Jesus, is truly the heart of the Church. Both for individual members of the faithful and for the Christian community as a whole, the words of Jesus hold true, that charity is the first and greatest of the commandments, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The present Jubilee year is also an opportunity to return to this beating heart of our life and our witness, to the center of the proclamation of faith, God is love. God does not simply have the desire or capacity to love. God is love. Charity is his essence. It is his nature. He is unique, but not solitary. He cannot be alone. He cannot be closed in on himself, because he is communion. He is charity. And charity by its nature is communicated and shared. In this way, God associates man to his life of love, and even if man turns away from him, God does not remain distant, but goes out to meet him. This going out to meet us, culminating in the incarnation of his Son, is his mercy. It is his way of expressing himself to us sinners, his face that looks at us and cares for us. The encyclical reads, Jesus' program is a heart which sees. This heart sees where love is needed and acts accordingly. Charity and mercy are in this way closely related because they are God's way of being and acting, his identity and his name. The first aspect which the encyclical recalls for us is the face of God. Who is the God we can encounter in Christ? How faithful and unsurpassable is his love? No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. All expressions of love, of solidarity, of sharing, are but a reflection of that love which is God. He, without ever tiring, pours out his love on us, and we are called to become witnesses to this love in the world. Therefore, we should look to divine charity as to the compass which orients our lives. Before embarking on any activity, there we find direction. From charity we learn how to see our brothers and sisters in the world. Ubi amor, ibi oculus, say the medievals. Where there is love, there is the ability to see. Only by remaining in his love will we know how to understand and love those around us. The encyclical, and this is the second aspect I wish to emphasize, reminds us that this charity needs to be reflected more and more in the life of the church. How I wish that everyone in the church, every institution, every activity, would show that God loves man. The mission that our charitable organizations carry out is important, because they provide so many poor people with a more dignified and human life, which is needed more than ever. But this mission is of utmost importance, because, not with words, but with concrete love, it can make every person feel loved by the Father, loved as his son or daughter, and destined for eternal life with him. I would like to thank all those who daily are committing themselves to this mission, which challenges every Christian. In this Jubilee year, my intention has been to emphasize that we can all experience the grace of the Jubilee by putting into practice the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. To live the works of mercy means to conjugate the verb to love according to Jesus. In this way, then, all of us together can contribute concretely to the great mission of the Church, to communicate the love of God, which is meant to be spread. Dear brothers and sisters, the message of the encyclical Deus Caritas Est remains timely, indicating the ever-relevant prospect for the Church's journey. The more we live in the Spirit, the more authentic we all are as Christians. Thank you again for your commitment and what you will be able to achieve in this mission of charity. May the Blessed Mother always assist you, and my blessing be with you. Please, as an act of charity, do not forget to pray for me. Thank you. Good morning, Ed. Good evening, and thank you for joining me in this evening meditation. My name is Father Boniface. I am a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. We are celebrating the third Sunday of Lent, and we'll take up the Church's prayer for the third Sunday of Lent to guide our evening meditation. Let us take a few moments in silence now and recollect ourselves as we look back on the day through the eyes of faith. We can do that best by placing ourselves in God's loving presence, cultivating a grateful heart by remembering a blessing or two from the day, and then simply asking for God's help. Let us pray in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We call God the author of every mercy and of all goodness. We recognize the tools that he's given us, especially in this Lenten season, fasting, prayer, almsgiving. These tools, as we recognize in this prayer, are a remedy for sin, and they help us to come to a more honest appraisal of ourselves, confessing our lowliness, but all for the sake of being lifted up by God's mercy. We can't be lifted up by his mercy if we don't realize that we are in need of his mercy. And that realization is itself a mercy for us. It's a mercy that comes about even more as we make an effort through fasting, prayer, and almsgiving to strive for holiness. We will fail. When we fail, we shouldn't hide it, cover it up. We shouldn't rationalize it. We should just be honest about it. Our conscience causes us to bow down, and that's okay. As long as we are honest, contrite, and bring it to Jesus. Repent. If we are able to meet all our goals, we haven't striven for much. We're not aiming high enough. If we have done so little as to never fail, then we haven't done much at all. But if we have tried and failed, in part or in total, then there is a place for us in God's mercy. God has mercy on those who fail. God has mercy on those who struggle. God has mercy on you and me. Let us not be afraid to bring our failures before him now in a few moments of silence, and then we'll ask for his mercy. Let us look at the failures from today, the ways that we failed to keep God's day holy, the ways that we failed perhaps to love him with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, especially at Mass, or maybe even failed to go to Mass to begin with, the ways that we failed to love our family, to love our neighbor, the ways that we were too caught up in our own projects, maybe even too caught up to let them go on this Lord's Day. For any of our failures, we don't give in to despondency. We don't bury them in denial. We don't rationalize them away. We just bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus and let him have mercy on you. And so we pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And we take up the Church's prayer for this third Sunday of Lent as we make a resolution to be a little more open to the Lord's mercy tonight and the days to come. Let us pray. O God, Father of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.